Hello, it feels so good to be back. I am Selena Justine, and welcome to my new show, Blissfully Ever After, A Gal's Guide to Life, aka GGTL. In this podcast, you and I are going to navigate the exciting transition into the next chapter of our lives, from faith to marriage, my goodness, to babies. We are going to cover it all. Together, we're going to toast to this next chapter. So cheers to today's dose of inspiration. Hey guys, welcome back. In this episode, we are joined by a special guest, Kayla Jude, to explore some remarkable women from the Bible and how their stories continue to inspire and guide us today. We'll also delve into the biblical perspective on the importance of community in our faith journey. Enjoy this conversation with Kayla and me. And so I just want to open the floor if you want to pray for our conversation and just for the listeners before we start.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you so much. Jesus, thank you so much for my sister Selena. Thank you for her heart just to lift up people who will watch this and listen to this, God. And I ask, Jesus, that you would just guide Selena and I as we talk about this topic today. And God, I even pray that women who maybe didn't know how much you love women would be able to watch this and just see that you're a God that loves women. And I even pray just people that feel discouraged with meeting with other Christians or going to Bible study, going to church, that they would watch this and they would feel encouraged to try again. And Jesus, we just pray that you would just move through this conversation and that you would be glorified and your son would be glorified. And we just thank you for everything you're doing in this conversation. And we thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was so beautifully said.
Yes, I'm excited. I feel like this is a really good topic and it's so needed today.
I agree with that. And yeah, I was just going through our outline. I'm like, you know, this is really, I wish I had heard this some time ago. Of course, it's always better now than ever. So I know I'm going to learn so much, and I'm not new to this, as you would say, this Christian thing. Like I've been in this, you know, I grew up Christian. Yeah. And my faith has matured the last few years. And so even now, even reading this, I'm like, man, I'm going to learn a lot.
Yeah.
And it never matters like what, I guess, quote unquote, level you're on in Christianity. Like it doesn't matter with your walk with the Lord. Like we're always learning. There's always going to be a revelation or wisdom, or even if you read the scripture before, you're going to see it in a new way. Like that's the most beautiful thing. Yeah, I split them up into segments. And so segment one, I have titled as Five Women in the Bible That Displayed God's Character. And actually, you know what? As I'm reading that, I just realized that I put three women. So maybe I should rename
it. We can make it three. It doesn't matter.
I will restate that. We are doing three women in the Bible that displayed God's power.
Okay.
And so I just would like for just casual conversation, and because I know people will say like, oh, that sounds so Christianese, like when we, when you know, certain things are said certain ways. And it's amazing that people can talk about it with such knowledge and such. But I really want this to be so casual and just so like everybody can understand and just –
whether somebody's maybe not sure what they believe, or somebody's like you said, you know, they grew up as a Christian, like went to church and stuff. So
yeah,
I love that. Cause like, I think I told you I'm getting my master's degree right now and they're so smart, which is great. But I'm like, nobody can understand what you're saying, which is like,
yes, you're right. And it's kind of like, it can be intimidating.
Yeah,
100%.
Totally. And I'm like you, I grew up in church, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. So
yeah, because you can even get lost in those big words. Because like even when I'm doing my Bible study, and like I will still look up. Okay, what's like an? Oh my gosh, you know what, Lord, please give me the vocabulary today. I don't know where my mind is right now.
You need some coffee, girl.
My goodness gracious. So is it called a synonym? Not a synonym.
Oh, a synonym. Yeah.
Right.
Like where for words another are word. Similar? Yeah.
Yes. Jeez, Louise.
It's okay.
Yeah. So when I'm doing my Bible study, I will always look up like other words that are similar to that just to like fully grasp it. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, if we could just kind of do that in our own little version today.
Yes.
And yeah, I just want us to talk about actually three specific women. So if we can talk about Hannah and Esther and Mary.
Yeah.
And talk about their stories individually and the theme of
how each one of them had that unwavering faith.
Yeah.
And just the specific qualities and how we can really make them stand out and how they can absolutely still be a role model for us today.
Okay, perfect. So I would start with Hannah. Hannah is this amazing woman who struggles with what a lot of people have come to struggle with, which is infertility. I mean, just in 2023, 1 in 4 women struggle with infertility. So this is a topic that unfortunately a lot of people can relate with. Mm-hmm. So basically her dream, and at those times it was really, really important for women to be mothers. That was kind of like the big role that a lot of women were very invested in. And so it was interesting because she found that she can't have kids. And so she goes to the synagogue, the church, the temple one day, and she's praying. She's praying so fervently that the guy who's there, he's like the leader, the prophet, he thinks she's drunk. And he's like, hey, don't be drunk here at like the temple. You know, you're not supposed to be doing that. Especially right. Don't do that here. And she's like, no. Like, I'm not drunk. I'm brokenhearted. I want to have a child so bad. I have not had a child for all these years. And so she's praying to God. And so the prophet kind of like his heart breaks with her. And he's like, may God answer your prayers. Like mm-hmm. kind of this blessing.
Right.
Well, she makes this promise. She says, God, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you in a sense. I will dedicate his life to serving you. Mm-hmm. And so this beautiful thing happens where God answers her prayer. And it's this miracle. She has this baby. His name is Samuel. He goes on to become the prophet of Israel, which was like the leader of the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just this really cool story of how God does care about us. And right. It's this really cool story about Hannah, this woman of faith, because, you know, it takes faith to pray to a God you can't see, especially years and years and years after waiting for whatever your dream is and it's not happening. That's faith.
It is, because we want, when we pray for something, of course we want it in our timing, even if we know that it's God's timing that is superior. Yeah. Like, there's still that yearning, like, man, I really wish I could see the fruit of this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where her unwavering faith is so, it's so refreshing to see.
Yeah.
Because I know with myself, there have been things where, and this is just complete honesty, like,
mm-hmm.
where I'll still beat myself over, like, man, why did I really kind of gave up on that because I wasn't seeing the fruit of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, like knowing that my faith is stronger than that. So then I started mm-hmm. up again, and it's like a cycle. And it's like, no, like, God still heard that prayer from 2 years ago, even though I'm not doing it every single day, you know, like, no matter what, it's just standing firm in that faith.
Yes.
And just knowing, like, he hears every cry out to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really amazing. So I kind of was laughing as I was going over today's outline, because I sent this to you a couple weeks ago, I think it was some time ago. And actually yesterday I have, so Mondays I have a Bible study group, and I don't lead it, but I'm in it. And anyhow, after our usual group discussion, I was praying and I said, Lord, I had a really interesting dream that I wanted to share. But I said, like, Lord, if you want me to share this, I will, but you give me the right time and to whom I'm supposed to share it with.
Right.
And so it wasn't until after group, it was only a few of us women, I think it was 4 of us at that time. And I brought it up and I said, hey, I had this really interesting dream I just wanted to share. And if, you know, if there was anybody who can interpret it, I'm just curious. And so I start sharing it. And one of the women next to me, she was praying in the spirit as I was telling her. And so basically the dream was, I was at my boyfriend's house
mm-hmm.
and we were standing in front of, we call it my room. It's one of their guest rooms, but they say it's my room. And I was standing out in front of it with his mom, whom I'm mm-hmm. very close with. And in the dream, I asked her, I said, I really would like for us to pray right now. And she says, 100%, absolutely. So we start praying and she kind of paused and kind of laughed, like, oh man, like, there was this girl, we don't know who it was, in the other guest room who had been talking very loudly. And she was like, wow, she's really not saying nice things. And I said, really? I don't hear a thing she was saying. I heard somebody chatting, but I could not hear what they were saying, the words this girl was saying. And so we continued praying. And I remember pausing and I said, Hannah keeps coming to me, Hannah. And then I woke up. Wow. And so I immediately went to 1 Samuel and started reading Hannah's story. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was reminded of the Hannah prayer.
Wow.
And that takes us to exactly what you just shared with us about how she was so continuous in her prayer and in her request, and she didn't grow weary. Right. And I smiled when I was reading that in my room that morning, because the day prior, which was Sunday, I was at my boyfriend's house with his family, and I just was smiling like ear to ear because I remembered when I prayed for what I have now for wow. years and years. And I remember being in my living room, literally on my knees, crying my heart out and just crying yeah. out to him, like, Lord, I'm ready for this. I want this. I want a healthy love that reflects you. And so I didn't say a peep about it yesterday on that Sunday. So it just was, but of course the Lord knows. He knows our heart. He knows all of our thoughts. And mm-hmm. so anyway, I just wanted to bring that up and hoping that is encouraging somebody today who's listening. He heard those cries, he heard those prayers, and he hears yours. And I just turned 28 and I was single up until now. So mm-hmm. like that is a major testimony. So don't grow weary. Even though I started to, there were seasons where I was like, man, maybe he's not hearing me, you know, sometimes we think that, but that's such a lie. It's such a lie. So,
and anyway, I love that, Selena, that's such a real life illustration of just praying and praying and praying, but not losing hope and not giving up, even though I'm sure there's days where you're like, I'm ready to give up, I'm ready to lose hope.
Yes.
But thank God you didn't quit praying. Thank God people like Hannah didn't quit praying. What if Hannah, or what if you had just said, you know what, I'm going to go do what I want to do, make it work in my own effort. You know, I give up on God. I'm going to go make my own path, my own way. And that's not to say that there's not grace if we have done that in our mm-hmm. own lives. I think we all in different ways have done that where we're like, okay, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. But we can come back to this place of God loves me. Mm-hmm. It might not be my timing, but he hears me. He wants good for me. You know, the Bible says that he gives good gifts to those who are his children.
Yes.
So he's not going to give us bad gifts. He's not going to withhold from us. And also Jesus, you know, he told this story, which goes right along with what you're talking about and with Hannah's story and just faith. Jesus was talking about this parable when he was on earth, and he told the story. He said there was a widow and she was praying. She was going to a wicked judge and she was saying, give me justice, give me justice. But the wicked judge was like, oh, go away, go away, go away. And the widow would not give up, though. She would just every day she'd go to him and say, give me justice. This is to a wicked judge on the earth. And eventually she just wears him out to the point. He's like, fine, what do you want? I'm going to give it to you. What do you want? You want justice? Okay, I'm going to give you justice. If you quit coming to me, here's your justice. Go away. And Jesus says, how much more would a good judge, meaning God, give his people justice when they cry out to him day and night? And then Jesus closes the parable by asking this question. He said, but will I find faith on the earth like that?
Yeah.
And I think as his children, the challenge is, I love the prayers when we get like 24 answer, you know, it's like 24 hours later and it's like, boom, there's the answered prayer. I love those prayers.
Me too. It feels good. I'm like, oh, it's great. Really you do hear me.
But when there's a Hannah story,
yes.
or a Selena story where you're wow. holding out for what is the desire of your heart and it's not coming in 24 hours.
Yeah.
What do we do as God's children? And the answer is what Selena did, what Hannah did. You get on your knees, you pray mm-hmm. to God, you don't give up. You trust in him for faith because God promises good things, but they don't always come immediately. And sometimes you have to be patient. But you can't give up because thank God Selena didn't give up. Thank God that Hannah didn't give up and just go their own way. They stayed in faith and they didn't quit. They kept asking God and he answered. And so I would just encourage anybody that maybe you have given up praying about something, you've lost hope for something. I just want you to know that God does care about you. He does care about the desires of your heart more than you do, actually.
Yes, that's so true.
Yeah. And to not quit asking, Because just like Jesus said about that woman, the widow, she got justice because she was so persistent, even though it wasn't a good judge.
Right.
God's a good judge, and God is a good God and a good Father, and He wants to give you good things. So don't quit. Don't stop asking Him, because I believe there is breakthrough.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that. It's so encouraging. And even if, let's say, your Monday prayer starts out where you're full of energy, like, yes, I'm going to ask Him for this, and it's this beautiful prayer. And then let's say by Friday, you've been praying all week for that one thing, even if it's just like, Lord, I just need Your help. Like, it can be something so simple.
Right.
And so just to not overanalyze what that prayer sounds like, it's just merely asking Him and telling Him, yes, He knows, but He wants us to come to Him. Mm-hmm. And so sincerely, there have been times where I was like, Lord, I'm frustrated.
Totally.
And He wants that honesty. And so anyway, he loves you so much. Like he does. He loves us so much. And just for us to come to Him, just as we would somebody that we trust here on earth, like as a mentor, as a parent, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they just want us to come to them.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just this beautiful story of God's love. And, you know, I don't always have all the answers. I don't know why. When you look at people in the Bible, or just even in our modern day world, why do people that are really loving, wonderful people have to wait so long for good things? I don't always have the answers, but I do know that God is a faithful God. And whether it was King David, who He promised would be a king, but waited many years for it, or Abraham and Sarah, who He promised He would give this like miracle child, and they waited many years for it. Or it's, you know, the people of today who are praying for that special thing that's the desire of their heart, and they've had to wait a long season for it. I don't always have the answers for why there's that waiting period, but what I do know is that it creates such a beautiful gratefulness, just like Selena was saying, where she's like, now I'm so thankful that I'm living in the prayers that I prayed for the past, you know, several years. And it's like, what a beautiful testimony of just not giving up the faith and not giving up the hope, even when I'm sure there's days where people do feel like, but you stay consistent.
Right. And I do want to just touch back on that dream and share that in the interpretation that I got and that the woman got, what that I shared with in my group, was that in the dream, the girl that was chattering in the back, who was saying unkind things, the interpretation that we got was that's the background noise that the enemy will try to put in your life when God blesses you with something. To tune out that doubt, to tune out the lie of, oh, you don't deserve this, you're not good enough for this, like those things, mute that and focus on God's promise. And there was something else I was going to add to that. Similar to Hannah, when once she got her blessing of her child, of her son, she promised God that she would give him back to Him. And she did just that.
Right.
She was waiting until He was ready. And so once she did that, she followed through with her promise. And I remember when this was prior to meeting my boyfriend, when I was still in a single season, I remember crying and literally just on my knees, like I had said, and I said, Lord, the next time, because I know you had mentioned sometimes we do it in our own strength when we grow weary while waiting. And I did that, to be honest. I did that. I tried my own path, and I knew what that led to. It was not goodness. And so that's when I was just bawling my eyes out. And I said, Lord, I promise this next time I know is my person, and I trust Your timing. And when You give me Him, I will steward that so well. And anyway, so that was something that and that's keeping that promise now, which is such a delight. You know, it's not a burden to steward something so beautifully given to you. So anyway, that's just to further
encourage. I love that. Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah. So let's go to Esther now.
Yeah.
Can you share her story?
Absolutely. So Esther was this beautiful, beautiful, actually she was an orphan girl. So she's basically a Disney princess. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But she was this orphan girl who her cousin raised her. But what was really special about her is she was just this very beautiful woman. And so this was back in the day when the Jews were exiled and they were in Persia, which is this like really, really powerful nation. So the king of Persia, he is basically looking for a wife, right? So what does he do? He has a beauty contest, essentially. So it's basically like a beauty pageant, if you will.
Yeah.
For modern terms. And he basically calls all the virgins of Persia all together. He gives them several months of like beauty treatments before they're all presented to the king. And he's basically going to select who's his new queen. Well, Esther is among the young women. So she goes in there, does the beauty treatments, and God just gave her favor with everyone. It says that even amongst like the king's servants and, you know, the courts and everything, she just had favor. So she was just this beautiful woman. She had favor. God gave her favor. And come to behold, the king chooses Esther as his new queen. So Esther is now the queen of Persia, which talk about, that's why I say it's a Disney story. Like yes. You are the lowest of the low. Like you don't even have parents, you know, you have no family. And then you're now the queen. You are eating meals with the most important people. Your husband is the most important person. So very powerful. Yeah. So anyway, she's now in this position, right? So you think, okay, well, happy ending. No, it's not the end. It gets worse.
Just wait. There's more.
There's more.
Yeah.
So then Esther finds herself in a very interesting position. That position is she is Jewish. People don't know that about her because her cousin who raised her, Mordecai, said, hey, don't tell anybody you're Jewish because, you know, they're not Jewish. That could cost you being queen, all of this. So just keep that secret. So she keeps it secret. But the problem is there's this man named Haman who makes this really evil decree that all the Jews are going to be slaughtered. I mean, just a total genocide. Not one spared. Not man, not woman, not child. So Mordecai is freaking out. That's her cousin, obviously, because he's going to die. All of his friends, all of his family is going to die. And he tells Esther, he sends her a message. He says, if you do not use the platform given to you, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Of course. But, yes, of course. No, this is so good.
Yes. If you do not use the platform given to you, help will come from somebody else. Like God will raise up another. But who knows if you were born for such a time as this? Right.
That line gives me the chills. Yes.
I know, because it's so powerful. Yeah, it is. So Esther had a choice, right? She could continue hiding her Jewish identity, live her life in relative peace. Mm-hmm. Granted, she might have a good life, but her people are not. They're going to be done for. Or she can use the platform given to her. And even though it might not be easy, it might be scary, it might be controversial, she can save her people. Right. And she decides to do the latter. So she breaks the law in typical, you know, princess fashion.
Yes.
And she goes to the king. Now, in these days, he had like this rule where you cannot approach him unless you are invited to. Mm. And if you do approach him, if he does not extend his scepter, which is like this thing he held, you were dead. So that was the end of your life. So
it's pretty scary.
That is kind of scary.
It takes boldness to just go to him. Yeah.
Yes. So she calls a fast for all. This is a woman of faith. And here's how I know. No water, no food for 3 days. I mean, that's an intense fast.
It is.
And she calls all, because this is life or death for all of them. I mean, it is sink or swim. It's one or the other. So they're all fasting. She goes before her husband. And he has favor on her. He extends the scepter. And what does she do? She doesn't like just cry out, hey, this is happening. She's like, come to dinner, smart woman. She's like, come to dinner.
She had a good tactic.
She had a really good tactic. She's like, I know how to do this. Come to dinner. So she makes a feast. Lo and behold, though, she invites the man who made the decree. Haman doesn't know Esther's Jewish. So he's made this decree. All the Jews are going to die. And he is at the dinner table too. She has another feast. He's at the dinner table. And finally, this is her moment. She's like, okay, it's now or never. So she reveals everything. She's like, I am Jewish. There's a decree by Haman that you're going to kill all my people. Da 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 da. You know, she just spills her heart.
Yeah.
And her husband, the king of Persia, he has total mercy on her. And he actually reverses it to where the Jews are no longer going to have this genocide. Excuse me. The Jews are no longer going to have this genocide. And interestingly, Haman, the very man that plotted to kill all of them, it gets reversed. He dies.
Yes.
So the very contraption that Haman set up for his enemies backfired on him, and that's how he died. But it's just interesting that this woman who was given such a platform was able to use her platform mm-hmm. for good. And if you look at her story, it's from rags to riches, but it's also from the weak and vulnerable and voiceless to somebody who's right in the ear of somebody very powerful. And I feel like for us, we can learn so much for Esther. And it's just that she had the faith that she risked her own life. You know, she could have been comfortable. She could have hid her Jewish identity. She could have lived in gluttony and feast and comfort and whatever. But she decided to stick her neck out for her people.
Yeah.
And she broke the law doing that. She risked her life doing that. And all of them were fasting for 3 days, which tells me they had extreme faith to cry out to God like that. Mm-hmm. And God moved on Esther's behalf. And I feel like there's women today where God's given you a platform to do things. And we have a choice. We can remain comfortable. And because we don't like being controversial and we don't like sticking our neck out, we can do what we're called to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not always comfortable. And it is scary. I mean, I can't imagine what Esther felt like going through that. No, like, that's got to be terrible. I would be shaking. Like, I'm about to break the law. I might die.
Yeah.
But she saved an entire group of people, her family, because she was willing to do what she was called to do. And I really feel like, Selena, like, whether it's women that are listening to this, even you, people have platforms. Like, you are called to do things that if you don't answer that, there's so many people that are going to be hurt or never hear the gospel. Or, you know, there's just so many things that only you can do that God's called you to do. And if you don't answer that call, I mean, there's so many people that are affected by it. And so I just feel like God, that's the other thing. God loves empowering women. There's this huge lie from the enemy that God just uses men, which is so silly. God calls men and women to do powerful things. And I just really feel like in this hour, especially in this hour, when the world is on fire, everything is crazy. There are people who are literally, God has put in different places, not for comfort, not for prestige, not for all of these things. Not that those things are bad in and of themselves, but you're there for a reason. And I really feel like even this morning, as we're talking about this, and I feel like, Selena, even you, like, you have callings on your life, and women that are listening to this, and men too that are listening to this, but people that are listening to this, like, God has specific callings for you. And if you don't answer them, I mean, there's just going to be things that don't happen that God, that's in his heart to happen. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we step into what we're called to step in, even when it's scary, like Esther.
Yes, that is so, so well said. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because what Esther did was mere humility. She was putting her own will on the line, which is scary, because we have this false sense of security when it comes to what we want.
Yeah.
And it makes us feel like that we have control. But when we do that beautiful surrender, and it's kind of like a trust fall, but God is always going to catch us. There's no ifs, ands, or buts if he's going to catch us. He will.
Yeah.
But it takes that initial, oh, okay, let me release and let go, and knowing that he's right there by our side. And so I say that as an analogy to say, when we're in his will, we are good either way. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's so fulfilling that it'll bring us contentment, even if it's something complete opposite of what we thought we had in mind for our future.
Right.
And a few points that I thought of. One is, a couple of years ago, this was, as I had mentioned in the beginning, I grew up Christian and always had a strong faith, but it really wasn't until a few years ago that I really, really matured and understood. The Lord has been unveiling lots of lies that I had believed for the years. And anyhow, so in one of those kinds of, I guess, cleansing out of things and just removing of things, was I was cleaning out my apartment, and I came across old vision boards that I did years ago. And I looked at it and I thought, I'm throwing this away, because this was all my will. These were all Selena's wants and desires. And not that those are bad, but I did not partner in God with creating that board.
Yeah.
And so I threw it away, because I thought, this is selfish. This is in fact, this is not what he had called. I looked at it and I thought, wow, I wanted these things and was striving for them for so long and was heartbroken that I didn't get them. But now I'm in such a different place, a literal different state that I didn't know that I would be living in, but all for the glory of God. And I've seen what he's done with that. And so, literally beyond that I could have comprehended or called for myself. So that's another proof of that. It's just like humbling ourselves and quieting down, replacing, actually not even quieting down, but legit replacing our will for his will.
Yeah.
And something else that came up when you're talking about the story of Esther and how she did not back down, and how she absolutely was born for such a time as that and was presented to that situation at such a time as that. There are some notes that I have in my Bible. This was from, it had to have been maybe 2014, and I was at a conference, and gosh, I think it was Devon Franklin that was speaking or somebody, and they said, never quiet down your morals or your faith. People have such respect for that, even if they're not believers. Like, there's something about standing so firm and confident in what you believe in that it really gets other people's attention, and not in a way that we're doing for self-seeking purposes, but like God is that powerful that he works in us and through us when we're standing firm on his foundation, that's when we're able to move mountains. That was not through Esther's own doing that she was able to do that. The Lord was working through her, but she had to allow him to do that. Right. And that's what took that humility for him to work through her.
Right.
And so there's just so many avenues to take her story. And it's just, it's such a beautiful reminder to know that we are not here by mistake, wherever it's a new job or a new family or a new relationship. Like, the Lord has blessed you for such a time as this. Yes. And he can absolutely use you. And even if we don't feel equipped for that, he will, like, that, don't worry about that. That's his business. That's his to take charge of. And he will bring that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something I wanted to add to what Selena was saying, that was so good, by the way. I am like in love with this conversation.
Me too. Topic.
I could talk. I'm sorry. I'll try not to talk too much. I could talk for hours.
Say anything you're called to say, honestly.
Cool. I love that. One thing I wanted to add, though. Mm-hmm. So one thing that Esther's husband, the king, had said. So she basically, when she was doing those feasts, right?
Yeah.
She had this petition. And he said, Esther, because he just had so much favor with her. Remember, she's smart. She's like, I'm going to cook my man a meal. And he was like, Esther, up to half my kingdom.
Get a girlfriend. What do you want?
But he did. He said, up to half my kingdom, whatever you want, it's yours.
Yeah.
Half his kingdom?
Wow.
That's a lot of favor.
Talk
dude.
About abundance. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, here's my petition. He's like, you got it. We're saving your people, the Jews. But here's what's crazy. In the New Testament, the exact same thing happened, but opposite spirit. So Esther came in the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, you'll remember that this man had captured John the Baptist, and he had imprisoned him. He was a powerful man. And the reason he imprisoned him was because John the Baptist was like, hey, you have, you know, your brother's wife. You're not supposed to do that. And he's like, yeah, okay, you're going to jail. Mm-hmm. But what's crazy is his wife's daughter, she was dancing. She gained favor with him. Same exact words come out of his mouth. It's almost spooky. He says, up to half my kingdom, what is your request? I give it to you.
Wow.
She says, I want John the Baptist's head on a silver platter. And he grants it because he literally just promised, I'll give you whatever you want in front of all his guests. So here you have two women. One's Esther in the Spirit of God. Up to half my kingdom, what do you want? She uses her favor for good.
Right. Oh, this is so good.
Here's somebody in a demonic spirit who says, I want death. Up to half my kingdom, what do you want? I want death. Kill the prophet. So here's two different individuals given the same thing. One uses it for good, one uses it for bad. And so that's the other charge that anyone listening to this, when I say you have to step into what you're called to step in, is because there's that demonic spirit that's the polar opposite of you that will use whatever platform they can for evil. and for death and for destruction. You know, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Mm-hmm. And when people come in that evil spirit, that's what they're going to bring with their platform, with their, you know, up to half the kingdom favor. And so we as God's children must step into the Esther callings that we have, because we don't want the opposite spirit to come in and take the place of where we're supposed to be standing because we were too afraid. Right. And so it's really important. I just feel like in this hour, especially, my heart is just like pounding for, I just feel like there's so many people in our generation called to mm-hmm. do really powerful things, but this fear just wants to control them and wants to say, no, just live comfortable. Don't speak out. You'll be controversial. Don't do that. You know, that's going to be hard. And yes, it will be hard. And you might be controversial, but it's really important because there's an enemy in this world that mm-hmm. wants to kill, that wants to destroy the things that God's doing. And if we don't take our places as the sons and daughters of God and do what we're called to do, mm-hmm. that evil spirit will move in and take the place of what we're supposed to be doing. And so that's why we have to listen to God's voice. That's why we have to answer him, even when it's scary and you're like, God, this looks a little frightening.
Absolutely. No, that is such a word that you just shared. And what just came to me with that message of yours is that, okay, because what I'm feeling is somebody listening, asking the question of, okay, but how do I know? How do you know when it's this good or bad thing and mm-hmm. which to pursue? Mm-hmm. So my answer, I just feel like Holy Spirit is having me answer this, is it's if it gives you peace. God is only peace. He's only love. And so if there is something that you're being presented with that feels really peaceful, that brings clarity, then that's the God-given path. Yeah. If it does the opposite, if it brings you confusion, if it brings you spite or this power hunger, that's not from the Lord. Yeah, I don't know how else to say that, but the enemy will make it look, it's just deceiving. He mm-hmm. wants to deceive you and make it look so beautiful, so bountiful. But that's where it takes being strong in the Lord, reading the Bible, knowing his word so that we know his voice. Knowing God's voice will literally like be life-saving mm-hmm. and he will continue to put, like he was like, he loves us so much to say, no, let's go back onto this path. Yeah. I have so much more for you. So anyway. Yeah.
And if you do find yourself like, okay, I've been down this path and this is not where God would have me. You know, the coolest thing about repentance is like, it's just, you make a U-turn and you go the opposite way. It's as simple as that. You know, you take a drink of water. It's as simple as drinking water.
That's right.
Just make a U-turn. Yeah. And there is grace. If you are listening right now and you know that you're not where you're supposed to be, there's not condemnation for you. There is grace. And mm-hmm. and God is a patient God. And
yes, he is. My goodness.
Yes. And you know what? Even if you've for years not been on the right path, God can restore mm-hmm. all of the years that have been the wrong path. And I'm sure Selena could speak to that. I can speak to that. Oh my that gosh, is yeah. truth, 100% mm-hmm. truth, that God can restore years of lost time. And so it's never too late to look to God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I think that'd be actually the perfect segue into segment number two, is why Christian community matters. Mm-hmm. And I'd love for us to just explore the even biblical teaching that emphasizes the significance of community, of gathering among mm-hmm. other believers. And yeah, let's see that wherever that takes us. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So a huge topic that I'm passionate about is gathering with other believers. And there's so many reasons. The first one, I would just appeal to the fact that it's a command from the Bible. Mm-hmm. God literally says in the Bible, do not forsake meeting together with other believers. Well, why? You know, why can't I just pray at home or read my Bible at home? You can and you should. Those are good things. However, there's something really special about gathering with other believers. Have you ever seen like the National Geographic lions that hunt together? Have you ever seen that, Selena?
Okay. Yes.
So what they do is they work together and they will attack like these herds, whether it's zebras or little antelope deer looking things mm-hmm. with the horns, little buffalo looking animals. Well, what they do is they strategically target them. They're really smart predators. So the lions will gather together, and there's several of them. It's never just one lion hunting by itself. It's usually a group. They call them a pride. So a pride of lions. And so what they do is they see these zebras, let's say, mm-hmm. and they try to isolate them because they're less powerful when they're isolated. So they'll look and they'll say, who's the weakest one? Or which one's alone? Or, ooh, that one looks old and sick. Or, oh, that one looks like a baby. So they target those ones. Or that one's really slow. What they do is they work together to isolate the zebra. And then when it's away from its pack of zebras, they kill it. They slaughter it because it's alone. Wow. It can't mm-hmm. fight back. However, when you're in a big group, there's safety when you're in your big group because you can work together to get away or there's more defense. And so our enemy is just like those lions, works the exact same way, wants to isolate us, wants mm-hmm. us to be alone. And the reason for that is many reasons, but one of the biggest things from community and Christian community is that when you have life troubles, when you have struggles, when you're like, man, I don't understand this part of the Bible. What does this mean? When you come together in your community, you share the struggles. You're not by yourself trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And weak and just like, oh, I don't know what to do. You have this community to fall back on. And vice versa, you know, life is good. Life can be messy. Life can be hard. But when you're in community, you do it together. And it's just this beautiful thing of like a family. That's really yeah. why God says, don't forsake meeting together, is you have this spiritual family. You might not be blood family, but you're a spiritual mm-hmm. family. You know, Selena's my sister yeah. and anybody who's a believer is my brother or sister. But what it does is we have people that we can go to with our questions, with our hurts, with our pain, with our excitement and our celebrations and our milestone victories. You know, I can go and I can learn from Selena, who's like, hey, I was single for many years and I was praying, thinking, oh my gosh, this is maybe never going to happen, but I'm going to keep praying. Yeah. And because I listen to stories and testimonies like Selena, I can say, you know what? I can do that too. I've also been praying for this thing in my life mm-hmm. and I haven't seen it yet, but Selena has. And she got breakthrough. I can get breakthrough.
Wow. Yeah.
So it does this thing where you encourage one another, you strengthen one another. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. And also, Selena, we all have gifts. We have spiritual gifts. We have natural gifts and talents. We are meant to share those. That is not just for us, you know, as much as God wants you to enjoy them, and you should. It's also to share with the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's also to share with the world. For example, a natural talent would be somebody who's really musically gifted. That's awesome. I'm glad you're musically gifted. But that is not just for you to sing in your bedroom.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You should share that with the world and mm-hmm. share that with your community. If God gifted you with a beautiful singing voice, use it. And spiritual gifts as well. It's not just for you, as much as it can be a gift to be enjoyed by yourself. It's for your community. Mm-hmm. And if you're absent from Bible study or church, or if you're not gathering with believers, we are missing a fundamental part of our community, because there's so many people right now that, whether it's church hurt or mm-hmm. just life is so busy and it's hard to, you know, go to a Bible study, it's hard to go to church, you know, gather together. We are missing out because that person's not there, because God created them with gifts and talents that we need them. And if yes. they're not there, we're hurting because we're not where we should be without them. And so I just feel like there's so many people right now missing from gatherings, missing from communities. And not only is it hurting them, it's hurting us, because mm-hmm. we need them. We need the gifts that are inside of you. And their life is so valuable and needed. And that's the way God made it. You know, God also says in the Bible that we are all different parts of the body. It's yeah. symbolism, obviously, but of course. Some are the eyes, some are the ears, some are the hands, some are, you know, the shoulders and the feet, and some are the voice and the mouth. And we all have different functions within mm-hmm. the body of Christ. But if we're missing in action, our community is hurting, because if we don't have the mouthpiece, if we don't have the ears, if we don't have the eyes, we're not functioning the way that we're supposed to function. And so
yeah,
I would just encourage anyone listening that's like, man, I've just been so busy. I've been hurt by church. I have been discouraged from meeting together. I would just encourage you, don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't quit, because not only are you needed by your community, you need your community as well.
Yes. That's so good. And you know what? Church hurt is so real. That's I've heard of that more often than not. And it breaks my heart, honestly, because the people that I hear about it from, like, they're so amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you are so easy to love. Like, you know, I have countless people I can think of, and it hurts, because I'm like, man, that was just a horrible scenario. And I see that, I get it. But like, that's not every church. That's not every community. Mm-hmm. That's not every friendship.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned probably my old podcast actually, but I'll mention it again, is where, so I'm from California and I moved to mm-hmm. Florida a couple years ago. And in California, I did not have, even though there was a church that I really, really loved, I just didn't have that community. And so honestly, like, my faith only kind of, it was kind of like, it had like this threshold almost.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know what I was missing, because I hadn't ever experienced that community before. And then I moved to Florida. And now that I have this community, I know I mentioned earlier in this episode how much my faith has matured. That mm-hmm. community has so much to do with that.
Yeah.
And the Lord working through my friends and through me and through our conversations for us to have. Mm-hmm. Even last week, a good friend of mine, she and I went to a local park here, and we just sat on the field on a blanket. We had our Bibles, we had our journals, and we just talked about our devotions, talked about our breakthroughs, like revelations we had, and where we're at in the season of life. And we both were like, wow, this is such a beautiful conversation. We talked for 2.5 hours. All about God, all about the Bible, about scripture. And I thought, this is just so delicious. And like, what an honor it is to genuinely enjoy this conversation.
Yeah.
And you know, no gossip, no just trash talking. Like, it was such a delight. And we wanted to talk about those things. And so, like, I've seen both, I've been on both ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And to now be on this side of the spectrum is so beautiful. And I know that it's there for us. And so I want that for everybody listening. Like, it is available. And maybe it's not at places you've been looking before, but don't close your heart to it. It is available. Yeah. And the Lord wants that for you.
Yeah.
And my friend and I, she and I even said that. We said, it's funny, because I told her, I said, this right here is another answered prayer. Although it was never a prayer that I prayed. But that's what she said. The Lord knows it was on your heart to have mm-hmm. such community. Even though I didn't voice it to him, he knew how much, A, I needed it, and B, how much I wanted it. And so that's just such a good God that he is that he wants to give that to you.
Yeah. And, you know, we're social creatures too, Selena. Yeah. We are not people who are meant to be isolated. You know, there's study after study after study I could quote, and these are all secular studies.
Yes.
That will tell you how damaging mental health, actually physical health as well, of when you're isolated, when you're lonely, when you're not doing life with family and community and friends. It in so many ways, it can actually make you physically sick. These studies have shown, not just mentally sick, which, you know, we'd kind of guess, but like physically it can have symptoms. People don't actually live as long when they're lonely, which is such a horrible thing, but your life actually gets extended when people report feeling less lonely, as opposed to people who report feeling lonely don't live as long of a life. And so it's just like amazing to me how we're social creatures and God created it that way. You look at the life of Jesus, if anybody could have done their spiritual life alone, it would have been Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. That's God in the flesh.
Yeah. So, that's such a good point.
If anybody could have done it by themselves, it would have been him. And even Jesus
didn't
do it alone. Nope. Right. He had disciples. He had friends.
That's such a good point.
Yeah. And it's like, mm-hmm. if Jesus didn't do the spiritual walk alone, it's pretty arrogant for me to think that I could.
That is so, it's just plain and simple. You're so right.
Yeah. It's like, we can't do it. It's impossible. And of course,
there are moments where Jesus drew away
of course,
to be isolated for a period of time for prayer. So that's different. Because I just want to say, you know, and we all, like, I have my quiet time where I do feel like even yesterday, a friend of mine, she and I were going to meet up and she said, you know what? Actually, let's reschedule because she got interrupted in her quiet time earlier that morning. So I was like, you know what? Go for it. Yeah. And then, so, you know, we just did our own thing. But it's that healthy balance and understanding, having that discernment of, okay, it's not going to be complete isolation. It's just going to be for this moment to pray. And then I'm going to go in community or serve somebody or whatever that looks like.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it could very well be that you're in a season, and we're not speaking to that. It could be that you're in a season like Jesus. You know, he went to the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's spending time with the Lord. That was the season he was in.
Mm-hmm.
The season was, it's me and God right now, because he was about to embark on this public ministry and, you know, miracles, signs and wonders and like all these amazing things. But God put him in a season of just, hey, it's going to be me and you for a little while. And that's not to say that God won't do the same in our lives or in people's lives, where he says, hey, in this season, I don't want you doing like public ministry and all this. I want you to come spend time with me and we're going to do this like that. That's different. But it would be wrong of us to say that you're always called to that season of it's just you and God. You're not meant to have friends. You're not meant to have community. Jesus' life tells us otherwise, which is that he walked with people all the time, except for those moments where he's like, I'm drawing away to be with the Father for now. And we honor that. And we honor those seasons of people's life. But at the same time, it is not a lifestyle of, well, it's just me and God.
It's not continuous.
Yes.
For the rest of your life.
So you know. It tended to be like a season, not all of your life.
No, that's so good. I'm glad we broke that down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really enjoyed this conversation. And like the one thing that I just feel so strong in my heart today is just answer the call. There are people who are being called in this day, in this hour, and answer the call because we need you.
Yeah.
Even if it's scary, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it means you got to speak out and you don't like to speak out, even if it means that you are putting yourself in a position that's just not comfortable. Mm-hmm. I really feel like there are people who are going to listen to this who need to answer the call and they're on the fence. They're like, I don't know. I could go live my life in peace and comfort, or I could go and do this thing that God's telling me to do, or I feel like God's telling me to do and it's scary. Do the thing that God's telling you to do, even though it's scary. It's so rewarding. I mean, we talked about several people, Esther, Hannah, people that really just didn't quit in their faith. Pressed in, and in the case of Esther, stepped out. And I really feel so strongly that there's people who need to step out. And I'm just urging you, please step out. Please do what you're called to do. You were created for this moment. Don't miss it. Please don't miss it, because God wants to move through you.
So beautiful. Let's close out in prayer, actually. I just want to pray with what you had said. And Lord, I just thank you for this moment. Thank you for, like, she's just like she said, like Kayla said, we are all here for such a time as this. This recording is so anointed, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I just pray everybody listening right now for boldness, for confidence, Lord. If there's somebody that you have been kind of poking at for some time now and they keep thinking, no, not me, you have the wrong person. No. Wake it up in their spirit. Give them just that sweet nudge that they need to know this is absolutely for you, and that, Lord, you have equipped them specifically, individually for such a time as this. Let this be the continuous theme for us to know that this is no accident that we are in the season. There is no accident that you chose us, Lord, that we are created for this, and just for you to continually give us that inner confidence to therefore have that outer confidence, Lord, and just to be completely guided by your Holy Spirit, Lord, and for you to continue to work through us and speak through us, Lord, to encourage those around us and just to absolutely be in line with your will, Lord. And I just thank you again for Kayla, Lord. Everything that she had shared with us today was so beautiful. I just continue to pray that every single person listening to this receives something that is just for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That concludes today's episode on GGTL. I hope you learned just as much as I did through today's conversation. And if there are any topics you want covered for the season of life that you may be in, please feel free to send me a message and we'll cover that. I want you to think of this show as our show, and we are in this together. I want us to be friends, I mean that. And if you want to follow me on my journey, go ahead and follow me on Instagram. The tags will all be in the show notes. Be sure to subscribe to the show so that way you are up to date with all of our conversations and guests. And with that being said, I'll talk to you in the next one. Take care.